Good morning, church family. Well, happy Easter. It's great to see everybody here together. I think that's kind of a huge word that we have for today. It is so great to see you guys here. We love you, and we're so happy that we get to be together as a family today. A couple of things as we get started today. I just want to remind everybody that today is a small group Sunday. I know it's Easter, but I know there are some small groups that are still meeting. So if you aren't part of a small group yet, make sure you check with one of us. One of the elders or one of the ministers will try to get you guys plugged in as best we can. Love for you guys to do that. It's a great way for us to connect together as a family here at Graham Street. Also want to remind you guys, there are those paper bulletins that are in the back. Great resource that we have. But remember, that paper bulletin does not have all the details all the time. There are some QR codes in there that you can scan that will take you to links on our website that will give you more and better detailed information. So make sure you grab one of those on your way out if you didn't grab one in this morning. Also, always make sure you're checking your emails, checking our Facebook page, checking the GrahamStreetChurch.com. Lots of information that we do have out there. Pretty much every day, new things are going on and stuff like that. So we want you guys to stay as best connected as you can through our online resources that we have. I do want to throw out one thing for our youth. In 2 weeks from yesterday, we will have our day retreat at the Heart of Texas retreat and camp in Brownwood. So if that's something that you're interested in, look in the bulletin. Otherwise, you can go on to GrahamStreetYouth.org, and there's also a QR code in there or a link on the website that you can go to sign up for that. If you have questions about that, come and see me, and I'll try to fill you in as best I can. Also, Jeanette reminded me to remind the Duracells group that they will be meeting on the 13th. Is that right, Jeanette? The 13th. And she wants everybody to be there. There are gifts for everybody that comes. Is that right? There is something for everyone who gets to come and be part of that Duracells group. So she really wanted me to make sure you all know about that great ministry that Don and Jeanette have been a part of in leading that. This morning, and the things that we get to do, we are going to be focused on Christ and who Christ is and who Christ is in our life. And this morning, we're going to start out from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Let's pray together. Father, we are a blessed people, and we are blessed as we are joined together on this first day of the week, knowing that there was an empty tomb. And Father, that tomb is still empty today. It's because of the resurrection that we know we have hope in you. Father, hear us as we sing to you today. May we lift up a joyous noise to you as we are gathered together as one. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
In Christ alone, hope is found. Here in thy light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firmness of fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the blood of Christ I stand. Let's stand up for this. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin. Till on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands for victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no schemes of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you, and here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sakes became poor. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see upon that cross. So here I to worship.
Here we are to bow down.
Bow down.
Here we are to say that you are our God.
That you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, church. Thank you, John. Thank you for leading our singing this morning. Thank you for all of you being here this morning. There are some who are braving the balcony this morning. Have you realized that the air is not on up there yet? Yeah, okay. Yeah, we have a problem with our air conditioning. Actually, it's with our electrical system. And the balcony was not going to get air this morning, so, you know, I'm sorry about that. But it's kind of warm down here, too, isn't it? Yeah? Oh, it's good to be crowded, right? Hey, I'm so glad you're here. So glad you're here. You know, we've been talking about resurrection. Easter is known about the resurrection celebration. But there's a whole lot more to it than just the resurrection. And that's what I want you to focus on this morning. We have up here on our cross the gold, the red, and the purple. Most resurrection crosses just have either white or purple. White standing for the resurrection, purple standing for the reigning Lord and King of Kings. But we have on ours three colors. The gold stands for God becoming flesh and coming into our world to show us the glory of God. If Jesus had not come into this world in the flesh, there would be no salvation. The red for the blood of the cross, the blood that was shed to atone for our sins. If Jesus had not died on that cross, our sins would not be forgiven. But beyond that, the purple stands for the resurrection and our reigning Lord. If Jesus had not come alive again, the gold and the red would mean nothing. It wouldn't have mattered. Because if Jesus was not victorious over death, we would still be dead in our sins. And there would be no hope of eternal life. So today we celebrate Easter. We celebrate the resurrection. But with that, we have to celebrate His becoming flesh. And when we take communion this morning, we'll do that. We also celebrate that He shed His precious blood for our sins. And when we take communion, we'll do that. But we are here because Jesus lives. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessing of celebrating the gold and the red and the purple. Not just one, but all three. Because it is by the three that we are made victorious in this life. And we praise you for that. This morning we pray, Father, you'll help us to turn to your word and be reminded of the value of the resurrection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn your attention to a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. That prophecy tells us of all three of these colors. It tells us of all three things. And it may be hard for us at first because there's some symbolic language in here. But listen to God's Word. And I want you to see how all three of these show up in this passage in Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13 all the way through chapter 53. So if you will, follow with me in your Bibles this morning, beginning in verse 13 of Isaiah 52. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled by him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of a human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so that he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. So the first part of this is the exalted suffering servant. God brought his son into this world as a suffering servant, rejected by man. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God and stricken by him and afflicted. The second part is he was rejected as the man of sorrows. He came into his own and they received him not, is how John chapter 1 calls it. This man of sorrows had to deal with the rejection of his very own people. Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By opposition and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. And he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was deceit in his mouth. The third part of this reading is the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. That's why John led us in the singing of the song, Worthy is the Lamb. He was the sacrifice for our sins, the Lamb of God. And then beginning in verse 10, and yet it was God's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will be justified. Many will be justified, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils of the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and he made transgression for our... He made intercession for our transgressions. So the fourth part is he was a living guilt offering. A living guilt offering. If you know the Old Testament, you know that the guilt offering was a sacrifice where an animal is slain, killed, it dies. But in the guilt offering, there is the opportunity to see life in that, because two animals are used. One is killed, and one is allowed to go free. One dies for the sins of the people, and one carries the sins away. Jesus was both in one. Jesus was the living and the dying animal. He died for our sins, and he lives by his resurrection and takes our sins away. What I want to do is focus in on one little Hebrew word this morning. Now, I had a Greek teacher that told me, he said to the whole class of ministers, not all of us were ministers taking the Greek class, but he said, now you ministers, don't start your sermon by saying, I'm going to talk about a Greek word this morning. You'll turn your people off just immediately. They won't listen if you do that. He didn't say you couldn't use a Hebrew word though, right? Okay. So, this Hebrew word is interesting. I want you to watch for it. It's a word in Hebrew, it's zerah. And in that word is the meaning of seed or offering or children or descendants. Watch for it in verse 10, Isaiah 53:10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand, and the suffering of his soul. He will see the light of life and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. This word used for offspring is in contrast to the word saying that he dies. How can you die and see your offspring? It's like if I die before my grandchildren were born, how could I see my grandchildren? The only way that can happen is if I'm alive. And what's being said in this prophecy is that Jesus is going to come alive and be able to see his offspring, see his descendants, his children. Jesus is going to come alive again. He's going to see the light of life. Even in this passage of Isaiah chapter 53 that's known as a prophecy about the cross, the death of Jesus, there is the prophecy of the resurrection. And it's so important. It's such an important Old Testament word. Now, it's used three times early in the book of Genesis. And I want you to see how it's used this morning, and I want you to see how it pertains to the resurrection. To begin with, it's used with creation. Every time you see the word fruits or seed, in the beginning, God created, and he made the vegetation, and he made the trees. And it says, and they had within them the seed by which they could produce more vegetation. They had the fruit by which they could bear more trees and bear more fruit. The word that's used there is our Hebrew word that we're talking about this morning. So it's used with seed in creation. Secondly, it is used with the curse. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, remember after the sin of Adam and Eve eating of the forbidden fruit? And God is putting the curse on them for their sin. In this is a prophecy in Genesis 3:15. In this prophecy is the idea that the seed of woman, and there's our Hebrew word again, the seed of woman is going to in some way defeat this serpent. The serpent is going to be defeated by the seed of woman. Now we know that it's talking about Jesus, that Jesus is going to defeat Satan. But that's that little Hebrew word in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And then in Genesis 22:18, you know this Old Testament story. Remember, Abraham was commanded to take his only son, the son, his biological son of him and Sarah, take his son, the son of promise, take him and offer him as a sacrifice to God. You remember that? And he obeyed God. It was a test of God. Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain and he prepared to kill Isaac and to offer him as a sacrifice to God. And God stopped him. And God provided a ram in the place of his son to offer as a sacrifice. And he blessed Abraham because he was obedient and he did what he was commanded to do, even though God stopped him before he completed it. These three places where you find this word is so important in our understanding the resurrection. To begin with, creation. The creation. In the creation, God made the seed that will bring more creation. But with Christ Jesus coming into this world and becoming flesh and dying on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins, and his being raised to life again, he made it possible for a new creation. We become new because of what Jesus did. In Romans chapter 6, it talks about our baptism. It says when we're baptized into the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When we go down into the grave, it's because we died to our sins. We're no longer going to live a sinful life. We're committed to that. We'll make mistakes, but we've made a decision. We're not going to live a sinful life any longer. And we're going to bury that old sinful person in that grave, and we're going to be raised to walk in newness of life. It is symbolic of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Because the resurrection of Jesus brings us a new creation. A new life. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, after talking about us putting aside this body and living on, and someday there'll be a resurrection. And it says that with Jesus, in Jesus Christ, all things become new. Because we have a new creation through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It says, God made him who had no sin to become sin for us. And that's the way we become a new creation. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that not only are we a new creation spiritually, but a new creation is coming. That the day is coming when all creation has been groaning for the day when Jesus will come back again and there will be new heavens and new earth. There will be a new creation. Why? Because Jesus died for our sins. And he was raised from the grave. And because of that, we have the hope of becoming new, becoming a new creation. And we long for the day when the resurrection of the dead will take place and we'll stand before God face to face and we'll go home to our reward. We look forward to that in a new world that God has recreated for us. Secondly, this is used for the seed of woman that will defeat Satan in Genesis 3:15. We know that Jesus in Hebrews chapter 2 became flesh and blood so that he could defeat Satan. He took away from us that dreaded fear of death because our death it's not permanent. We're not going to stay dead. When we die, and our spirit lives on, and someday our spirit will be reunited with our body that God miraculously puts back together, and we're able to come forth from the dead, and we'll be alive. How do we know that? Because Jesus was raised from the grave. And Jesus came and experienced flesh and blood so that we could believe in flesh and blood coming to life again. He did that for us. He came to this world born as a baby and lived his life as a human being and died on the cross for our sins and was buried in that tomb, and he came to life again for us. Why? So that we could have victory over Satan. You see, the power that Satan has over us is the power of sin and death. As long as we're dying in our sins and as long as we live in fear of death, Satan is winning a victory over us. And if he can keep us there, if for our whole lives he can keep us there, if he can keep us under sin and he can keep us in the fear of death, then he wins. But you see, because of what Jesus did for us, we're victorious not only over sin, but also we're victorious over death. Satan has no hold on us. I've been forgiven. Not because of what I was able to do, not because I'm perfect. We're all imperfect. We're all sinners. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. My sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did for me. And I am victorious over death because Jesus conquered the grave. I do not have to live under the power of sin and under the fear of death. I can look to death knowing that there's life on the other side. I'll spend the rest of my life eternally living with Jesus Christ because of what he's done for me. Ephesians chapter 2 says that he has the power over sin and death, but that has been broken because of what Jesus did by his death and his resurrection. We live with victory over sin. The power of sin is because I die in my sins without Jesus. But because of Jesus, I live sin-free because of his forgiveness. And I live looking to the resurrection, eternal life. Number three, I told you that there's third lesson on this little word, Zira, comes from the story of Abraham. And it's such a wonderful story. In this story, after Abraham has been obedient to God and he's passed the test, God says to Abraham that you will be the father of many nations, and through your seed, many nations will be blessed. The word seed that's used there, of course, is our little Hebrew word we're talking about this morning. The book of Galatians picks up that little word, and it says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 29, that the passage reads the seed of Abraham, not the seeds of Abraham. Now that sounds like a technical grammar thing. Paul, what's your point? So big deal. Genesis says that the seed of Abraham, not the seeds, plural, of Abraham. Paul says because the seed was talking about one person. One person. And that one person is Jesus Christ. Abraham was being told, even though he couldn't understand it, he was being told someday one of your descendants is going to come, and that descendant will bless all nations of the world. And that one seed is Jesus Christ. And he had to do all three to be able to be that blessing. He had to be born into this world as a human being of the seed of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham. And he had to die on the cross as a guilt offering for our sins. And he had to come to life again to be able to make it possible for him to have the blessing to all nations. And brothers and sisters, we're part of that blessing. It says in Galatians that we are the seed of Abraham. We're the offspring of Abraham by faith, according to Romans chapter 4. That everyone who has been baptized into Jesus Christ is a descendant of Abraham by faith. We are all descendants of Abraham. God said, your seed is going to bless all nations, and we're part of that blessing. And people all over the world today are celebrating Easter because Jesus conquered the grave. And as a descendant of Abraham, he came into this world, he died on that cross for our sins, and he was raised victorious to bring us into bringing the promise of Abraham to us. We are heirs of God because we're children of God. And here's the amazing thing. We are co-heirs with Christ. Hebrews 2 even calls us brothers and sisters of Christ. And you know what it says? It says that he was not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Any of you have a brother or sister that you're kind of ashamed of sometimes? You know, They're just goofballs. They're always doing something they shouldn't do. They embarrass you. Hey, don't raise your hand. Don't do that. No. People will figure that out. You know, they know your brothers and sisters. We have brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes we're ashamed of. I think about Jesus being my brother, and I think, boy, he must be ashamed of me. I am so weak. I do such stupid things. I do thoughtless things. I do things that I get angry and I do things I shouldn't do. All those lists of things that I do, and I think, Jesus must be ashamed of me. Why would he want to own me as his brother? Hebrews 2 says that Jesus came in this world, flesh and blood, and he had to be victorious over death for us, and he's not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Romans 8 says we are co-heirs with our brother of God, as God is our Father. You know how that happens? The resurrection. If Jesus is not alive, I have no inheritance. And we make our wills, our trusts. Because someday we're going to die. That's part of the reason why we do it. We know we're going to die. We want what we've developed, what we've grown, what we've been able to make during that time of our lives. We want someone to get it, to carry on the good that maybe we started. We want our children to take money or land or whatever we have and we pass it on. And we pray that God will, through them, use it for good. And we leave it behind. Jesus died for us. He left behind an inheritance for us. But the only way we can claim it is by his coming to life again. And the only way we can use it is by our coming to life again. Because the inheritance he's left for us is on the other side of death. It's by our being victorious over death and conquering death and the resurrection happening, and we get our claim on our inheritance someday after we die. But Jesus had to start by dying for us and coming to life again. And because he did it, we can do it. Because Jesus died for us, we can live for him. And if we spent our lives living for him, after we die, we get a promise that has been laid up for us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came into this world and became a man for us to show us the glory of God, because we cannot understand the glory of God. He came to look like God in the flesh, because he was God in the flesh, and he showed us God's glory. And God is calling us to imitate God's glory as we've seen it in Jesus. And he went to the cross for us, not because he was forced to. He could have stopped it at any moment. He could have said, no, enough of this. I'm God. I'm not going to do that. But instead, he willingly went to the cross and died for my sins, to take away my sins, that I might conquer sin, that I might be forgiven, that I might stand before God perfect. Even though I'm a sinner and I'm far from being perfect, in the eyes of God, I can be perfect because my sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And then he was buried in a grave. And on the third day, he came to life again. And he didn't just come alive again. He ascended back to the Father, and he is my Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the glorious one. He now looks like the glory of God. He is the wonderful one, the mighty one, the Lamb of God who took away my sins and now reigns as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And because he's done that, I've got an inheritance waiting for me. I've got the promise coming to me. It's mine, not because of me, but because of him. Why is the resurrection so important? Why is it so important that we have Easter? Why do we make such a big deal about it? Because it's a big deal. There can't be a bigger deal than the resurrection, because it took all three. As great as it is to celebrate his birth, as great as it is to celebrate his death, if he did not come out of that tomb, it would not have resulted in what gives us the inheritance. The only reason why I have hope of life eternal with my God is because all three were accomplished by my Lord. And all he asks of me is to follow him. To follow him. And that's all he's asking of you. If you're not one of his followers, you're not one of his disciples, you haven't made a decision to make him your life's pursuit, I beg of you this morning, it's worth it. It's worth all three. It's worth it for you to give up whatever it takes, giving up to follow Jesus. Don't let anything keep you from following Jesus. If anything is getting in your way, put it away this morning. Make Easter a day of commitment. I will put on Christ today. I will make him my Lord and Savior today. I will not let anything get in the way because of what he's done for me. I owe it to him. Amen. Let's stand. John, will you lead us in a song, please?
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows, a living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing, honor, strength, and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings, 'cause you are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Please be seated.
As we get to take this moment that maybe this week for what we get to focus on, not that it's more meaningful, but maybe it should hit home a little bit harder with us. In John chapter 13, when Jesus is spending some time in the final night of his life with his disciples, and he's in the upper room, and he takes the time to wash his disciples' feet. And as he's washing their feet, knowing that every person who's in that room will run away from him, will turn their backs on him, he washes their feet. He humbles himself to be a servant even in his final hours. When he gets to Peter, when Peter objects to what's going to happen and doesn't really want this to happen, and if it is, he wants it to be even bigger than it is, Jesus makes a statement to Peter, and he says, "You do not understand what I am doing." But he says, you do not understand what I am doing now, but someday you will. But someday you will. On that day that Jesus was put on the cross, his followers didn't understand. They had heard the words from his mouth. They knew what would happen. He had told them over and over that it was coming. But they didn't understand. As we have this opportunity now, it may be a struggle for us still in our lives. Maybe we don't always understand why. Maybe we don't need to understand why. Maybe that's something that comes from God and is only for God. Let's pray. Father, we know that your Son was willing to die on a cross. But Father, we know that he was afraid, that he even cried out to you, looking for another way. But Father, he knew that it wasn't about what he wanted. It was about you and your plan and your will. Father, now as we take this bread, we are reminded that there was a body that was beaten, that was bloodied, that was bruised, not because he had done anything wrong, but because he was willing to take on the wrongs of an imperfect people. Father, as we take this bread now, may we remember the sacrifice that was given on our behalf. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you. And my only peace is you, Jesus. My only peace is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only peace is you. And my only joy is you, Jesus. My only joy is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only joy is you. Yes, all that I need, all I need is you, Jesus. All that I need is you. From early in the morning till late at night, all that I need is you.
When Jesus spoke those words saying, "You do not understand now, but someday you will." Maybe today's that day that for you, you finally get to understand. This morning in our Bible class, we talked about how I can't imagine a darker day in history than that day that Jesus was gone. That people were uncertain. People that believed were saying, it can't be possible. It can't be true. And the hopelessness that may have been there. The hope that they had in Jesus that they felt like they had lost. But Jesus reminds us that someday we will know. And on that third day, he reminded the people. He let them know, it's not finished. Yes, on the cross, he spoke those words and he says, it is finished. But Jesus was just getting started. And for us, in our lives, in the sacrifices that we make, we know that it's nothing in comparison to what God did for us. And even when we have those dark days, the days that we feel like there's no coming back from, we know that we have a hope that we can put our faith, our trust, and our salvation in. And we know that because of the blood of Jesus, that we are his, and that tomb is empty, that cross is empty, because Jesus is alive. Let's pray together. Father, now as we take this cup, as we're reminded of the blood that was spilled on that day, we're also reminded that it is the blood that washes us free of sin, that it is your blood that makes us pure and holy and white as snow in your eyes. Father, we are so grateful that your Son, your only Son, came for us. But Father, we are even more grateful that death could not defeat him. And Father, that you are God. That you broke the chains of sin and you said that we are yours forever. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin his wrong his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that hid him there, until it was accomplished. It dying breath has got me alive. I know that it is finished. I will. trust in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ. His death, His resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Let's stand for this song.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Amen. Y'all be seated.
What a great day. What a blessing to be with one another as one. It's wonderful to be together this morning. Thank you, John, for those songs. Appreciate your leading. And thank you, David, for that lesson. Those are powerful words that we need to remember each day of our lives, not just on Easter. We have a couple of announcements. The Hullum family are mourning the loss of Shirley. Let's keep that family in our prayers. There'll be a memorial service at some point, but we don't know when that is right now. And we'd like to introduce the Mora family, George and Chantel, and their four kids. If y'all just stand up just for a second and let us see you. They have four kids, Heaven, Tatum, Kempton, and Braden. So let's welcome them, and they want to be put to work. In Mike's Bible class this morning from 1 Peter, we were talking about godly living and how to treat people. And I had come across this quote, and I want to read it to you right now. We will never honor Christ if we forget to honor each other. If you would, pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be together this morning. We're thankful to be together as one family. It's been a hard, long year, but we're so grateful to be able to be together this morning. May we get better and better as time goes on, as your family, as your servants. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. We're thankful for Jesus, and we're thankful for that sacrifice that makes all things possible, that makes us right with you and to be able to have that right relationship, to be able to seek you and to serve you. We're thankful for that continual hope that we have because we can look to the future and know that we will live with you one day. We look forward to that time. We look forward to putting behind us the cares of this world and being with you for eternity. Thank you for each person here this morning. We thank you for their love for you, for their love for the church and for the kingdom. May we all continue to strive and letting the world know that there is a better way. Strengthen us this week. Help us to be a blessing in other people's lives. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Let's sing it again. Everybody stand.
My Jesus, my Savior, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, power and majesty. And the mountains bow down, and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your name. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing.
Sing out, church.
In majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your forever. Nothing compares to the promise I have
in you. Okay, one last song, and I am so blessed to be able to not just be in Christ's presence, but to be able to praise his name, because I know that that tomb is empty, and that tomb was empty for me, and it was empty for you. And if there's nothing else that you bring from this morning, know this. God knows every one of your names. He knows how many hairs are on every one of your head. He knows you before you knew you, before your family knew you. And he loved you, and he always will. And this is where he wants you, is close to him. Okay? So we're going to sing one more song and sing out. And then let's have a wonderful afternoon together. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the trials of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the voice in the desert cry, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a lyre of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers. What are we declaring, church? Preparing the word of the Lord. Behold, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. All right. Amen. You all have a wonderful Lord's Day, and we look forward to seeing you again very soon this next weekend.
Sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would.
I sing for.